Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, as we say every day, 365-24-7, you can find us on the World Wide Web at voiceofvision.org. And we'd like to remind you that you can find sermons there. You can find out about Riverside Christian Fellowship there. There's a daily weblog that has these broadcasts in text form. Of course, each day that this, the original date that this comes on the air, you will find it on the website right there. But if you miss any, you can go into the radio archives and hear it, or go onto the weblog and you can hear it and see it right there. If you have any prayer requests or would like to send in a donation to keep this going, you can just email me there, Pastor J.D. Hatfield, at voiceofvision.org. In any event, you can drop us a line, tell us that you like it, don't like it, want it to change, whatever you want. We're going to be there for you. So we're starting a teaching today that, well, we're going to start it and finish it today. That's the way we do here. Each day is a new teaching. But it's something that's really important, and it's really something I want you to think about a lot, and something that we all have to sort of learn, and then after we learn it, we keep learning. And it, what I'm calling this teaching today is cookie jar or coffee pot. I hope that's interesting. Cookie jar or coffee pot? Yeah, with a question mark. Cookie jar or coffee pot? And it has to do with what God's doing in our lives and resisting that or going with that. And Isaiah 45:9 says, "Will the clay say to the potter, 'What are you doing?'" Of course, Paul talks about that in Romans 9. Can the potter say, can the clay say to the potter, "Why have you made me thus?" Also in Jeremiah 18, let me read some of that. Jeremiah 18, you know this, the potter and the clay, from verse 1 says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do." And you see there, he talks a lot about nations and things like that, but we could apply it into individuals where we become spoiled. We're not happy with what God's doing with it, and so he has to start over again, as it were. And it's, we're talking about boundaries, friends. Inside the boundaries God has set for you is where the power of God is in your life. I'm only 5 foot, somewhere between 5 foot and 5 foot three, I guess. And so my boundaries are that I'm not going to be dunking any basketballs real soon, unless they're Nerf or they're on an elementary school play yard. And really, I'm getting old enough to where those aren't going to happen either. But do I cry about that? No. I'm a man. Do I cry about not being a woman? No. I'm a certain color. Do I worry about that? No. Now, there could be certain advantages and disadvantages, but you think about that with your spiritual gifts and your spiritual life and where God has put you. You know, they say bloom where you are planted, and that the truth is that if you don't bloom where you're planted, then you get plucked up. And what does Jesus say about that? Those that don't bear fruit are plucked up, cast away, and withered. Again, inside the boundaries God has set for you is where the power of God is in your life. Inside the boundaries are the blessings. I like to say it like this. Let me give you a little story. Let's say that God came down and he told you, "Hey, look, you, I'm going to give you the ability to fly." That's right, the ability to fly. But there's some limits there. You can fly all the way, anytime you want, up and down, back and forth, as fast or as slow as you want to go. From Florida, you know, Key West, all the way up to Seattle. From Maine all the way to San Diego. You know, all across the continental U.S. But you can't go down into Mexico. You can't fly up into Canada. You can't cross the Gulf of Mexico. You can't cross Atlantic Ocean. You can't cross the Pacific Ocean. You can only fly in the continental 48. But you can fly anytime you want to. Now, Would we then say, oh man, I wanted to go to Japan. Oh, what about Brazil? Oh man, I can't go to Alaska. I can't go to Hawaii. What good is that? That's no good. And yes, I'm using a mocking voice, and you would be too. You're probably laughing right now saying, yeah, of course I wouldn't do that. You know what you'd be saying is, I can fly! I can fly! It would be great, right? But see, it depends on how you look at it. If you're expecting so much, and you think you deserve so much, and then you're giving something, well then what happens is, you know, you start to see that it's too little. You take it for granted. Instead of thinking, I can fly, you'd be thinking, well, look, I'm all boxed in. Don't fence me in. And it happens that way a lot in ministry. As a pastor, I've got to tell you, it's really hard to give certain people certain things because then they take them for granted and think they deserve more. They would have done it as a volunteer for a long time, but once you start involving them because you're doing it because you want to do it, then they might get the wrong idea. You know, it's unfortunate that's the way, but that's human nature. That's human nature. And so what am I talking about? I'm talking about boundaries, and I'm talking about cookie jar or coffee pot. What's God doing in your life? How's He molding you? You see, when you're buffeted for your faults, you know, you got to take that patiently. You know, let me read to you 1 Peter 2:20 here. It says, for what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. In other words, God's power is going to be there. It's gracious. He helps you to do that. So inside those boundaries, imagine those boundaries, and you're coming up against it, and you start to fly, and you're just about to get over the Gulf of Mexico because you really weren't paying attention, and you start falling a little bit. That's God helping you, not letting you get dead immediately. He's allowing you to get back in bounds. You see, He lets you see the rough spots, like the potter and the clay. It doesn't get spoiled overnight. It doesn't just, you know, slide away and get all nasty. It gets bumpy, but God tries to use His hard hand, as it were, to smooth out the rough spots. Do you see what I mean? He uses His hand to really mold you. And sometimes it hurts, but He's allowing you to feel that pain to get you back in bounds in order that He might smooth them out. Would He rather that He didn't prop you up and let you fall? See, a player can make the greatest leaping catch in the history of the sport, but if he's out of bounds, it doesn't count for a score. See, don't complain if he's making you a cookie jar when you want to be a coffee pot. You will get marred, and then you'll be discarded for a season until he can work with you, just like we saw there in Jeremiah 18. Clay is a humble, you know why he uses that? Because clay is a humble piece of earth. But formed in the master's hands and tried in the fires of the kiln, it becomes an instrument meet for the master's use, if I can use biblical language there. You cannot work with a vessel that won't hold anything. It's not the vessel that's significant, it's what it is carrying. We're only milk cartons, and without any milk, no matter how pretty our carton is, what good are we? When the waiter brings out our food, are we concerned about its appearance and taste, or do we remark about how lovely the plate is? I mean, we might look at the place settings and think, wow, what wonderful place settings, what gold and silver and embroidery, and yay, and here comes a McDonald's hamburger. Does it make that hamburger any better? No, it doesn't. That's only the window dressing, and you know Jesus Christ talked about that. He said, you whitewash tombs. You focus on the outward part of the cup and not the inward, but focus on washing the inward part of the cup, and the outward will also be. You see, so whether God's making you a cookie jar or a coffee pot isn't the point. The point is the power of God in your life. And what does it say in 2 Corinthians 4:7? That we are jars of clay, potter in the clay again. We need to be grateful that as jars of clay we get to carry this treasure. Are we worried about how we look or how He looks? I mean, it's important, isn't it? Part of your problem, if we're in that mode, is that we're resisting God. And any disobedience is just that, resisting God. And you're blocking His power, His voice in your life. What is He trying to do in your life? Well, He's trying to make you more like Christ. And that's the suffering servant, friends. And sometimes that clay has to be broke down again so that He can shape it up. Sometimes you might start out like a coffee jar, a cookie jar, and He turns you into a coffee pot. Sometimes He uses you for different things. Sometimes you're a vessel for a different use. And so you have to change what you're doing and change how you're doing it. Are you going to allow God to do that? What He's trying to do in your life which is making you more like Christ, this is what brings power and perspective. But when we have the wrong perspective, we cry foul at the potter's hand. But who are we to say, no, God, you're not doing it right? You never see that happen. You don't see the potter, you don't see the clay go, hey, look, what are you doing? Right? The clay is humble in the master's hands, and we need to be the same way. No, friends, everything won't always be smooth sailing. You'll feel those rough spots, and you'll feel His hand. Thank God for His hand letting you stay in the boundaries. But when you're becoming like Christ, you see your troubles through different eyes. And you know what? You have less troubles. You know why you have less troubles? Because you don't have to focus, you know, on just yourself. And you don't have to have the troubles that come by your own fouling up. Focus on the rewards of diligent, faithful obedience, which is fellowship with God. And this sees you through. You pray to let God do His work unhindered by you. It's an incredibly important thing, and I just want to go over all that again. I know I've been repeating myself, but the truth of the matter is that it is too often that people come into a church and they think they have something to bring, and they do. But it's part of the vision of the house, not their own vision for what they can bring. Too often, people will come and say, not what can I do for you, but this is what I want you to do for me. Not what needs to be done around the church, what ministries need to be happening here, but I've got this and can you put your stamp of approval on it, basically is what they're saying, even if they don't say it to your face. And it's the truth. And sometimes we have very talented people that they haven't actually learned submission, so when they come into a new house and they got to keep doing it over and over again until they get it right, just like the potter and the clay, they've got to come in and be humbled and do nothing until they are formed within the congregation to help the congregation out the best, not to get their ministry done. That's self-esteem, friends. That's not God-esteem. God-esteem says, I will come in and I'll be used as they need me. And then I will trust God that He will show them these supposedly wonderful talents that I have, and then we'll together be able to talk, and we'll be together be able to let that thing happen. But too often, we want to, even if we are supposed to be a cookie jar, and God does mean to grow us into a cookie jar, we become a coffee pot because we get cut off the top, because what happens is we try to go too fast. It's like we try to spin too fast in the potter's hand. It's a tough thing. I'm talking about people in church, and I'm talking about your ministry with God and in your family and in other places. We want to be something somebody else is because we saw it and we liked it. But you need to pray to let God do His work unhindered by you. If you stay within the boundaries, God will let you see beyond them. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're about to close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Don't you love me turning the pages? I hope you do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we were there earlier talking about jars of clay. Now in 2 Corinthians 4, at the end of the verses there, verse 16 through 18 says, we don't lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Is God doing His eternal work in you, or are you in the temporal situation where you are crying foul and having to start all over again? Friend, don't complain about being a cookie jar when He says you're not going to be a coffee pot. That's all we have time for today. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad to know my life is here with Jesus, and that's where
see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.